Welcome to your Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Merry Christmas from our family to your family here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. It's a pleasure to be here. It's great to be here for our last... Our last regular live show of 2016. Now, little bit of a housekeeping thing to do here at the top of the show. I hate announcing this sort of thing, but our Orphans Christmas event has been cancelled. That will be not going ahead, unfortunately. But there will be a Christmas Day special, so do stick around for that. There will be a Christmas Day special, but there won't be an the Orphans Christmas thing. We had to cancel that due to financials reasons, unfortunately, out of our control. Also do apologize for no show last week, but we're here, we're doing it. We've got lots of stuff lined up over the holidays that I'll get to at the end of the show. I'll do that now. We got a bit of time. This show's the last show of the year. It seems to be kind of the most relaxed. You know, we're relaxed. We've got nothing going on. So this is our last regular live show. Next week is Christmas Day. Merry Christmas. There will be a special. There'll be a Christmas Day special. So do stick around for that. That'll be tentatively, it'll be from 10 a.m. till 12 noon Australian Eastern Standard Time. So that will still occur. New Year's Day, there will be the greatest, GLS's greatest hits of 2016, which will be a compilation of this show. It's a clip show, basically. The 8th of January will be all of these are those. From the 1st to the 15th of pre-recorded shows, so three pre-recorded shows for you over the holiday break. The 8th will be the Biggest Stories of 2016 episode for you there. That'll be airing on that day. And then we've got the 2017 Predictions show, where we look into our crystal ball and make weird and wild predictions about the next upcoming year. So that'll be coming up on the 15th. And then we return only for a couple of weeks. We're not on it long at all. We're back on the 22nd of January. And then we're off again on the 12th of February. So we're only back for 3 weeks. And then we're off again on 2 week vacation. So we're not back for long at all. We are taking a 2 week vacation on the 12th to the 19th of February. The 12th and 19th, well, there will be no shows. So we take this amount of time off doing live shows. If you count next week, we take nearly a month off doing live shows, and then we take 2 weeks off. Those 2 weeks, I am working on another project, and I've got school going back, so It's not that I'm taking vacation, so keep that firmly in mind. So that is what that is. So there's your housekeeping. This is the final regular live show of 2016. This is why it's all loose, pretty much. Next week is Christmas. Then we go into pre-recorded shows, the first being the GLS Greatest Hits of 2016, the Biggest Stories of 2016 being the week after, and Predictions being the week after that. Then back live the week after that, after the Predictions show, and then we're back for three live shows, and then we're off for 2 weeks vacation, quote-unquote vacation. So stay tuned for that. Now, the reason why we're loose, I do like this last show of the year because it's rounding up 2016 in a nice little bow, so to speak. So, Australia internet users will be soon blocked from five major torrenting websites following a landmark case on online infringement. The federal court on Thursday ruled that internet service providers, ISPs, must block copyright infringing sites in a crackdown on websites facilitating illegal downloading and streaming. Then landmark case marks a major crackdown on online copyright infringement. Over 50 national telco companies, including Telstra, Optus, and TPG, must take responsible steps to disable access, in quotes, within 15 days. The banned websites include the Pirate Bay, Solar Movie, ISO Hunt, Torrent Hound, and Torrents with a Z. Foxtel was quick to welcome the federal court decision to block five of the largest online piracy sites. Quote, "This judgment is a major step in both directly combating piracy and educating the public that accessing content through these sites is not okay. In fact, it is theft," Foxtel chief executive Peter Tonnell said. Also, it was revealed that $50 per domain name is what Roadshow and Foxtel must pay ISPs, a contribution towards compliance costs. So there you go. And another person on Twitter said, everyone wins. Pirates keep torrenting, operations get false sense of achievement, and TV viewers still enjoy 8 episodes of random breath tests a week. So have fun with that. So now there was, I did want to highlight this. So who wrote this? This is over at CIO.com.au. Leon Spencer wrote this compelling piece over at CIO. And to note, this is opinion from what I can tell. So in an Australian first, the federal court granted injunctions to see that the country's major internet service providers compelled to block several websites used to illegally stream films and television programmies. They've spelt programs weird, so that's why I've said it, programmies. Because that's how it's pronounced. Leave me alone. The Federal Court of Australia. Did you guys hear that noise? That was a weird noise. That was a train noise. I heard a train noise at 11:13 p.m. on a Sunday night. I hear a train. Why do I hear a train? Anyway, we'll move on. The Federal Court of Australia handed down its judgment on the 15th of December. Local ISPs to block 5 torrent websites and 61 associated domains. The judgment relates to 2 applicants, one Foxtel to TBG Internet and IINet, and the other to Village Roadshow to Telstra and PacNet. Injunctions that would compel the ISPs to block the websites. M2 was also named as a respondent in the Village Roadshow applications. Under the federal court's orders, ISPs must take quote-unquote responsible steps to disable access at the websites within 15 business days of orders being issued. The ISPs have ordered to take a number of steps to block the sites, including DNS blocking, IP address blocking or rerouting, URL blocking or, quote, any alternatives technical means, unquote, for disabling access to the sites as agreed and willing between the firm and media companies and the ISPs. The rights holding applicants to pay Telstra's, Optus's, M2's and TPG's compliance costs calculated at $50 per domain name and the subject of the DNS blocking undertaken for the purposes of complying with order to hereof. Because, of course, the court has ordered Foxtel to tell Telstra and TPG's compliant cost calculated rate of $50 per domain, subject to DNS blocking, and $1,500 to Telstra for compliance costs, and Village Roadshow has to pay M2 Telstra and TPG $50 per domain blocked. Strange how Optus gets the flat fee. The ISPs will need to redirect attempts to access websites that have been blocked to a special landing page established by them for all the applicant companies. Quote, "This judgment is a major step..." Okay, get to the point here. Get to the point. A group of researchers at the University of Queensland poured Dutton, Kylie Capapello, and Nicholas Souza have also suggested that VPN and proxies could easily be used to access the sites through pirate or secure connections, according to an article penned by the trio for The Conversation. Ha! See, now we're getting to the meat of the article here. Yes. Moreover, the researchers suggested continuing difficulties Australians would meet when trying to access the largest films and television programmies, I keep spelling programs weird, through legal channels is likely to see illegal streaming rates remain relatively high in Australia. Quote, but their legitimate means of access, consumers feel they have no choice but to download the content illegally, they said. Meanwhile, Internet Australia CEO Laurie Patton has also questioned the effectiveness to move to block the websites by suggesting that such site blocking regimens in other parts of the world have failed. Quote, look to us for more of a publicity. Looks to us to be more like a publicity stunt. It offers a handful of 100 ISPs, and there are plenty of ways to get around it, Patton said. The international experience have shown that site blocking is more effective as a PR stunt than a realistic solution. So, what you're telling me is they should do nothing? I'm confused. So, this person is... that's my ear. Why is my ear buzzing? So, you're telling me that they should do nothing when it comes to trying to protect the sanctity of their content? Again, it's like me putting this show, and again, it's not happening, but it's like me putting this show behind a paywall, and then having me, having someone leak this whole episode out to the public without my permission. It's like that. That has happened and is happening on YouTube. So, by the way, I just want to put that out there. People have put content behind a subscription wall, which happens, unfortunately. But that's a whole nother rant for yet another day. So, people are putting content behind paywalls, and people are screen capturing or audio recording the whole episode and putting it up for free on YouTube. But they're not getting taken down, or they're not getting attacked by the person who makes the content directly. So, and I said that last hour, and it's kind of true. I do want to know the answer to my question. If someone, it's like in the 90s where you would record off the radio, the tape recorder. Also, that record feature, by the way, just occurred to me, that record feature was built into the stereo. So they were kind of encouraging that. I want to know. GenericLiveShow@gmail.com. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, for our last live show of the year. Billboard hands out their Woman of the Year award. We'll tell you who it is. We'll play parts of their speech for you as we continue here on a Sunday, on our last regular live show of the year. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Merry Christmas. It's 11:19.
Whatever the time of day, whatever the time of the night, we're here to serve you a big dose of genericness with your host, Dale Campbell.
Merry Christmas from our family to your family here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on our last regular live show of 2016. Things are a little bit silly here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Dale Campbell, and we are jingling all the way to the end of 2016. Ew. You know what? I'm going to switch things around a little bit because I am good at improvising because no one says I'm not. I'm going to play something for you. The Late Late Show, James Corden, did a recap of 2016, and I think it's pretty brilliant. So I'm going to play that for you because it deserves playing in full, actually, because, well, the recap of 2016 part, it gets a bit weird afterwards. So we're going to play this. James Corden recaps 2016 on The Late Late Show.
2016 is almost over, and I think it's safe to say it's been a very, 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 very long year. So long, in fact, that you might have lost track of everything that happened in the past 12 months. So in case you need a quick refresher on 2016, let me break it down for you real quick. This year had one extra day, four new Ghostbusters, the Final Five, an iPhone 7, eight judges on the Supreme Court, a woman on the $20 bill, critics gave Suicide Squad a 26%, bros gave Bernie Sanders $27, the Olympics gave Phelps his 28th medal, and Ryan Lochte was a 100% tool, which is just one of the infinity reasons 2016 was kind of the worst. Britain left Europe, which upsets me because I'm British. Angelina left Brad, which upsets me because I'm human. Vine went away. Pokemon came back. Netflix had chill. The FBI had zero chill. News was fake on Facebook. Humans were dogs on Snapchat. Hotline Bling was lit. Samsung phones were literally lit. Planet Earth was boiling. Flint needed water. Beyonce slayed on lemonade. Schwimmer said juice. Hillary carried hot sauce. Trump ate a taco bowl. McDonald's had all-day breakfast. And I was loving it. Because otherwise, 2016 was kind of the worst. Castro died, Jordan cried, doctors were strange, things were stranger, Wiener was gross, Ailes was ew, clowns scared us, mannequins challenged us, Orlando had us praying, Rio had us oleing, Zika broke out, Bolt broke records, Cool Pope got down with birth control, Republicans ruled nut our girl to birth control, Superman got up in Batman's grill, Kim had beef with Taylor, and Kanye might be running for president, but until 2024 arrives, 2016 was still kind of the worst. Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl. Denver residents smoked Super Bowls. The Cubs broke their curse. The Indians kept their curse. Their logo kept being racist. Oscars were so white. Jeans were so tight. Bob Dylan may not know he has a Nobel Prize. Hamilton won a Pulitzer. The Instagram of your playbill didn't win a Pulitzer. And the Tony Awards were hosted by this handsome devil. I mean, 2016 was kind of the worst in all, but would you just look at that face? Yeah. The election ended last month, but feels like it started last century. Jeb was low energy. Ben had no energy. Carly fell off a stage. Christy fell off a bridge. I don't even remember this guy's name. I think this guy might be the Zodiac killer. Melania plagiarized Michelle. Marco plagiarized himself. Rihanna sang work, 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 work. Obama created jobs, 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 jobs. Hillary got the votes, 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 but the Electoral College was all like, nah, 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 nah. We're swiping right on this guy who swiped right on this guy, not to mention these guys, and don't even get me started on this guy, because that guy is actually the worst. But look, I know you might be angry about politics and concerned about our planet and outraged with the police and cannot even with the TSA. But before you try to move to Canada or marry some rando from Canada or think we're living in the apocalypse or just hated X-Men apocalypse, let's all remember the ways that 2016 was maybe not the worst. Because we may have lost Ali and shed a tear for Bowie and said farewell to Wilder and kissed goodbye to Prince, but we said hi to millions of babies, sang hello millions of times, got closer to curing ALS, said peace out to the Dakota Access Pipeline. Juno went to Jupiter. Bruno is still named Mars. Giant pandas stopped being endangered. Baby pandas kept being adorable. And again, your boy looked good hosting the Tonys. I mean, so whether you think this year was the best or the worst, whether you'll remember the White House getting whiter or Full House getting fuller, whether you remember Becky with the good hair or Donald with the weird hair, to 2016 we now say goodbye, and to 2017 we text you up, eggplant emoji.
That is James Corden recapping 2016, and it couldn't have done it better, actually. You know, that kind of sums up 2016 in a weird sort of nutshell, if that makes sense. As we continue here on the Derek Love Show, we will get to Billboard's Woman of the Year, but we kind of had to play that for you. As we continue here on the Generic Life Show, thanks for joining us. It's 11:30. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Merry Christmas from our family to your family here on the Generic Live Show. Our final Generic Live regular Generic Live Show for 2016. Our last live show will be next week, Christmas Day. We'll be doing a live show. So tune in for that. I do like this time of the year because it's Christmas time, and what better music is there than this? I mean, come on, it's saxophone. You can't say no to saxophone. You can never say no to saxophone. Anyway, we promised this last segment, but things got a little bit off topic because, hey, it's the final show. It can get a little bit off hand. Madonna won Billboard's Woman of the Year award somehow, and here is Madonna delivering her heartfelt speech on sexism, monogamy, and feminism in the Billboard music industry. And here's how she opened it.
He already had sex with a banana, so
that is. What? Hang on. You might want to make that your ringtone. Here it is again.
He already had sex with a banana, so.
What is
First
that?
First of all, I want to say thank you to Labyrinth. That was an amazing. First of all, I want to. He already had sex with a banana, so.
Okay, we'll move on.
First of all, I want to say thank you to Labyrinth. That was an amazing, amazing performance. Okay. Sorry. Seriously? It's better this way. I always feel better with something hard between my legs.
Oh, Jesus. So, we're a minute into the speech, and then already it's been like 7 sex jokes. Anyway, we'll move on.
There was no internet, so people had to say it to my face. There were very few people I had to clap back at, because life was simpler then. When I first moved to New York, I was a teenager. It was 1979, and New York was a very scary place. In the first year, I was held up at gunpoint, raped on a rooftop with a knife digging into my throat, and I had my apartment broken into and robbed so many times, I just stopped locking the door. In the years to follow, I lost almost every friend I had to AIDS or drugs, or gunshot. As you can imagine, all these unexpected events not only helped me become the daring woman that stands before you, but it also reminded me that I am vulnerable. And in life, there is no real safety except self-belief. And an understanding that I am not the owner of my talents. I'm not the owner of anything. Everything I have is a gift from God. And even the up things that happened to me, that still happen to me, are also gifts to teach me lessons and make me stronger. I'm receiving an award for being Woman of the Year, so I ask myself, what can I say about being a woman in the music business? What can I say about being a woman? When I first started writing songs, I didn't think in a gender-specific way. I didn't think about feminism. I just wanted to be an artist. I was, of course, inspired by Debbie Harry and Chrissy Hynde and Aretha Franklin, but my real muse was David Bowie. He embodied male...
That's been Madonna giving her speech at the Billboard Music Woman of the Year. She won Woman of the Year. This is her acceptance speech. Of course, she was talking about her rough times in New York, so... There you go. More of Madonna's speech.
Sexy. In fact, I look quite bored. I was. But I was expected to feel ashamed when these photos came out. And I was not. And this puzzled people. Eventually, I was left alone because I married Sean Penn. And not only would he bust a cap in your ass, but I was taken off the market. So for a while, I was not considered a threat. Years later, divorced and single, sorry, Sean, I made my erotica album, and my sex book was released. I remember being the headline of every newspaper and magazine, and everything I read about myself was damning. I was called a whore and a witch. One headline compared me to Satan. I said, wait a minute, isn't Prince running around with fishnets and high heels and lipstick with his butt hanging out? Yes, he was. But he was a man. This was the first time I truly understood that women really did not have the same freedom as men. I remember feeling paralyzed.
That's Madonna there talking about equality in the music industry. Last clip here, and then we'll move on from Madonna. From Madonna's speech.
But to the doubters, the naysayers, to everyone who gave me hell and said I could not, that I would not, that I must not, your resistance made me stronger, made me push harder, made me the fighter that I am today. Made me the woman that I am today. So thank you.
Madonna there, her full acceptance speech at the Billboard Woman in Music 2016 Awards. She won the Woman of the Year award for 2016. Now, Madonna has had... I'm surprised, actually, that... it's taken this long for Madonna to be recognized for some of her work this late into her career. So I'm actually very, very surprised that, again, has taken this long for Madonna to get recognised, but she's finally gotten recognised for the work that she's done. Would I like there was less sexual innuendos in that speech then? Yeah, maybe, but hey. Beggars can't be choosers, right? Meanwhile, speaking of which, we have the five biggest tech blunders that happened this year on the back of kind of rounding up the best of the best of the best and worst of 2016. You know, kind of, you know, gotta balance it out here. So news.com has put together a list of the five most tech blundery of the year in no particular order. Innovation doesn't always go to plan, they say, which is exactly why some of the best tech, the biggest tech companies learnt this year. The Samsung Galaxy Note 7, undoubtedly probably the biggest. Forget 2016, Samsung Galaxy Note 7 exploding battery saga will likely go down in the Hall of Fame of the worst product launches in history. All things pointed to the South Korean manufacturing creating the device this year, but disaster struck when reports of Samsung Galaxy Note 7 having issues with exploding batteries. Following the unpredicted worldwide product recall, Samsung announced that direct cost would inherent reach $3.9 billion over the next two quarters. The news just came after Samsung announced the second recall of the smartphone saw the company's stock price fell more than $22 billion in one day. This is an Australian list, so number two, they're saying, is the census drama. Remember when the Census and Australia Bureau of Statistics website were shut down after a cyber attack? People were quick to vent their frustration online, although the Bureau assured that 2 million Australians who completed the census before the site was shut down, their data was safe. So they detected a hack and then they were safe. And also, apart from that, just the whole census this year was kind of a mess. Like, it was kind of a hot mess. Trying to log on census day to try and do the census was kind of the worst thing on the planet. I mean, I got on to do mine relatively early on the day, but man, no website or no server in the world could handle 20 billion people logging on at the same time. DongleGate is number three. Apple released its MacBook Pro lineup, with products being the thinnest and fastest ever released by the tech giants. Laptops were also designed with customizable OLED touch bar at the top of the keyboard, with hopes it'd make the touchscreen displays obsolete. With no HDMI ports in the new laptops, another dongle was required to hook up the new MacBook to the television screen. Jeez. Well, and I'd classify it. No, that's coming up. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say I'd classify something in there when it's coming up. Number four is the GoPro Karma. It was only a matter of time before GoPro released its own drone device, and in September, this became a reality. But GoPro founder and chief executive Nick Woodman showed off the much-anticipated product during an event in California, which transformed GoPro into a storytelling solution, he said. The folding drone shipped in a backpack and featured a removable stabilizer which fitted any GoPro model. Until the product started to lose its power mid-flight, so it came down from the sky. And Apple's iPhone 7. Apple's September launch of the iPhone 7 and iPhone 7 Plus generated hype But days of delays left customers upset. I would just say they're the weakest iPhone launch ever. I forgot that it actually happened.
Oops.
The jet black iPhone 7 suffers from low cost production, yield rate of 60 to 70%. Who could also remember the removal of the headphone jack controversy that happened as well? Wow, that just all around. These were bad 2016 tech moments. Promised last hour that we would talk about this, of the Australian Republic argument entering it back in the news. The Prime Minister gave a speech in 1999. We'll play a bit of it.
From that convention, the coalition will put that consensus to the Australian public at a referendum.
Congratulate you, and I wish you well.
To give Australians the opportunity to have one of their own citizens, one of us, an Australian, as our head of state.
Well, look, Malcolm, that's just completely wrong. No means no to this fundamentally flawed republic.
Well, did the Prime Minister rule out a plebiscite this morning or not? Did he? What
if
did
you
he
vote, if you vote yes,
can't get an answer. If you
James's concern is understandable. If her side wins tomorrow, it will do so riding on the back of radical Republicans like Ted Mack, who want a president elected by the people.
I'm quite sure this is not the end, because two-thirds of Australia want to become a republic. It certainly won't go away. It is now a major political issue.
All those clips were from 1999, and that surfaced this week, so there you go. Wow. Jeez. Australian Republic Movement backs a plebiscite, so holding a plebiscite for this. What is that? Sunday, December 18th, so this video is the recent one.
It was a sobering message that the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, delivered to faithful here at the 25th anniversary dinner of the Australian Republican Movement. He said at his core, he's still a Republican, that a head of state of Australia should be, quote, one of us, that this was born out of patriotism, and the pioneers of this movement 25 years ago deserve credit for starting and train the move towards the historic 1999 referendum, which Malcolm Turnbull led, but of course lost. And the Prime Minister said that the Australian public, however good an idea he thinks it is by no means inevitable, that it's going to take a lot of hard work. And for it to happen, the mechanics of it should be, in his opinion, there to be an indicative plebiscite about what sort of republic Australia would want before there's an official referendum.
So that happened at the 25th anniversary of this movement. So, okay, first of all, there's no plebiscite on same-sex marriage, but the Turnbull's calling for a, still, after 25 years, reaffirmed his support for an Australian Republic plebiscite. He's pushing that, but not allowing same-sex marriage. So that makes a ton of sense. Also, second of all, the most confusing part of it is Bill Shorten came out and said that he would support this as well. That's the baffling story. That's the main story of it all. But Monica's still shutting it down. It's a back and forth between people. So nothing has been locked in stone. But that's a 2-minute roundup of what that happened. So the conversation has started again. Yay! The Republic conversation has started again. Ta-da! As we continue here on a Sunday, well, we'll do some housekeeping to round out 2016 here on the Generic Live Show. We're going to be doing some housekeeping here after our break to round out the year. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Merry Christmas from our family to your family here on The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell for a Sunday, our last regular live show of 2016. Thanks for joining us. It's 11:53. Finally found the most generic live show. This is The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Merry Christmas from our family to your family here on The Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Now, we are rounding out 2016. This is our final regular live show of the year. Regular live shows in this time slot will continue. January 22nd, we'll be back with regular live shows. Then we're going on 2-week workation from the 12th of February. So, no, we'll be back in full swing January 22nd with live shows in the new year as we continue here. So next week is Christmas. Merry Christmas. We're doing a Christmas special. Then the New Year's Day will be the greatest hits. The 8th will be the biggest stories of 2016. And the 15th will be the predictions episode for the year. Now, I want to say this as the final sort of round out. And one thing you should know from here, this is completely unscripted. So I am fully doing this off the cuff, and I know I should sit down and prepare these sort of things beforehand, but I wanted to sit down and do this sort of monologue. I'm kind of teary. I don't know why. To the camera, the fact that I get to sit here and do this, entertain people, and to have the support of the people, has made my year. 2016, for me personally, has been a rather confusing year. I'll say that. It has been, I was going into 2016 with so many high expectations. Honestly, going into 2016 with so many high expectations. And now we're practically on the other side of it. We're a little over 2 weeks away from ending the year. A little less than 2 weeks away from ending the year. We're about 2 weeks and 2 minutes away from ending the year. But I'm coming out of 2016 better off than what I was going into 2016. I'll say it that way. Well, yeah, 2016 has had its bumpy rides for me. I feel like I can take those bumpy rides and take them on board for what they are and move on into 2017. And it's with the support of you guys, the listener. And I've just got so many people I'd like to thank for 2016. First and foremost, I would like to thank my friends and friends and family. My housemate Kieran, who's probably in the other room hearing this. For 2016, it's that close friends as well that have kept me in line in 2016. And it's that close friendship group and familyship that has kept me head above and not to get too bogged down in the bad moments of 2016. And there has been two that I will not name here for obvious reasons, but there has been two significant events in 2016 that has got me down. And I'm getting sick and tired of people saying that 2016 was the worst year ever. Maybe for you personally, yes, I'm not one to say. But you do have to preface that. Because for me, while 2016 wasn't the best year, 2016 is going to be a rememberable year. Not just for the show, but for me personally. And I want to create moments that we could remember in 2017. And I don't want to get bogged down in 2016. I've had so many people I'd like to thank. And we are going way over time, but that's not an issue at this point. First and foremost, yeah, the friends, the family, and my work, which I have been able to fully be who I am at work now, which is probably one of the greatest things that has ever happened in 2016. I want to thank Geek.io for their constant support throughout 2016 as well, constantly helping me grow this show and helping me become who I am. I want to thank you guys, the listener. I want to thank our affiliate partners, Blog Talk Radio, as well. They've also helped me become a better radio presenter and a better person through that, because I am passionate about this. I'm passionate about radio and I'm passionate at what I do. Am I any good at it? That's another story. And something came up, and I'll end on this. Something came up in my Facebook feed from a year ago. I said at the end of 2015, I am alone again, but that'll change in 2016. That is what I said. And look where I am now. No, I will say this. This will be my parting words of 2016. 2016, farewell. 2017's catchphrase will be 2017. A pathway to a better future. 2017 will be a transition year. For me personally, this is me personally. 2017 will be a transition year. And I'm going into 2017 knowing it'll be a transition year. I understand that. Lots of things happened to me in 2016. And I need a year to just breathe. Thanks to everyone for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you all. Stay safe over the holiday season. Thank you so, so much for your support. It does mean a lot to me. I say it over and over again, but this time, I mean it. Good night, Australia. Good night. Good morning, America. Let me try that again. Good night, Australia. Good morning, America. This is GLS. Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. 1204.
This has been a podcast of the Geek AM Media Network, where you put your geek in and geek out. For more geeky goodness, head over to geek-io.net. Copyright 2016.